Reading for this afternoon you can find in the first book of the Kings, 1 Kings chapter 10, reading the first 13 verses, 1 Kings 10. Let's hear the word of God. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice." She gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these, which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the navy also of Hiram, that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord, and for the king's house, harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen until this day. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Thus far, God's holy and infallible word. Dear congregation, we have read together a very familiar history from the Old Testament. The coming of the Queen of Sheba to see and to hear King Solomon. And as it is often with familiar histories, we often overlook certain details and lessons to be learned from it. As it were, our minds are already locked to what we know and think, "Oh, that's a familiar story. I know what that is all about." With God's help, we wish to consider, though, a few easily overlooked lessons, very encouraging lessons, very convicting too. With God's help, we wish to consider the passage read, verses 1 through 9 particularly, but we will just read verse 7. 1 Kings 10, verse 7. The Queen of Sheba speaking. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. With God's help, this theme coming to Solomon. In the first place, we'll consider his fame. In the second place, his wisdom. In the third place, his salvation. Coming to Solomon. His fame, his wisdom, his salvation. We realize that when we consider coming to Solomon, really finds its apex and fulfillment in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater Solomon. Matthew 12:42, we read that Jesus says, greater than Solomon is here. All the wisdom King Solomon had, he had from him. We read in verse 1, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. Truly, King Solomon was worldly renowned. He was world famous. Everyone in many nations had heard about King Solomon. And the Queen of Sheba was by no means the only one who came. Many came from far and wide. Even kings and queens. We read about King Hiram brought gold from Ophir, brought trees, wood for the palace of the king and for the temple. We read in later in this chapter, which we didn't read together, but now I'll read verse 23 and 24. We read, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth. There was none like him for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth, verse 24, sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, mules, arrayed year by year. They kept coming. All the earth, all the known world. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, we find the parable or the parallel history. We read that kings came to pay their respects, to offer their allegiance, to bring gifts. Why do I emphasize that it was not just the Queen of Sheba who came? Well, so that we would not get a wrong impression, as if to come to Solomon, the greater Solomon, is an exception. As if only one came. As if only one today can come to the Lord Jesus, the greater Solomon. But rather, that we should read it in the context and be encouraged to come. No matter how far we may have been drifting away from him, no matter how far we may be found away from him, even to the ends of the earth, all the earth sought to Solomon, came to him, sought him out, so to speak. So we are encouraged to come to the greater Solomon. You see, really what this verse 1 and the whole chapter is not just about Solomon. Very plain, if you read carefully verse 1, you read, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came. Solomon's fame was bound in and bound up with the fame of the name of God, the Lord. The name, the one and only name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Now this queen had heard about him, it's not just about Solomon, but about the name of the Lord. And what she had heard, the stories that had come to her from far, seemed to her too good to be true. She didn't think that was possible. So great wisdom, such a great wealth, such a wonderful God, that's impossible. Maybe you think that too. You hear the gospel preached. You've seen others converted. You've observed their life change. You've observed their sorrow for their sins and their joy in the Lord. And you wonder, is it really true? Is it real? You wonder about them and you wonder about yourself. Is it really true that sin brings only unhappiness? I see a lot of people that seem to be happy. Is it true that holiness only brings true happiness? I've seen Christians that are not happy. And in addition to that, is it something that's real and really possible for me too? We don't know, of course, the queen's heart. Nothing is said about it. Although a lot is evident in when we read further. But we do know her actions. We do know what she did. We read she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to try him out. She came to test him with hard questions. She came to put him to the test. She came to put the Lord to the test. As it were, trying him out. Is it really so great and as good as I heard? Or is it indeed too good to be true? She came, it says, with hard questions. Literally it says, with dark sayings. With dark sayings. With riddles. With trick questions. Sometimes children or young people can do that. They like to put a question and try to stump you that you have no answer to it. Can you not, as it were, see her sit on her throne and dictate those questions to her servants? And can you not see her in her chariot dictating more questions as she went? She was determined to prove him, it seems, wrong. Yet deep in her heart, there was a need to prove it right. She was a riddle to herself, but she didn't yet realize it. She had a lot of questions. Dark sayings. She was going to outwit him. She was determined also to outdo him. Look what she did. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train or following, with camels that bear spices and much gold and very much gold and precious stones. She brought all her wealth along. She was going to show that Solomon wouldn't be as wealthy as the rumors were. She was going to prove him wrong with her own wealth and with her own questions. But we read, when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. There we see what was in her heart. All these questions, she laid them all before King Solomon. And every single one, Solomon answered. You read that in verse 3. And Solomon told her all her questions, answered her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. What a blessing! If we so may come to God through Christ and have all our questions answered. Finding peace and rest at his feet. She was totally unprepared for this. For what she saw and for what she heard. We read that in verse 4 and 5. When the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom. Notice the word all repeatedly in here. In verse 2 already, all that was in her heart. Verse 3, all her questions. Verse 4, all Solomon's wisdom. Doesn't mean she exhausted it all, but there was sufficient. And she would come to the realization that even if she had other questions, a million more, he would have all the answers. Seeing all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he built, and the meat of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she had heard it all and seen it all. She was speechless. When she came into Jerusalem and saw all that took place there, she was overwhelmed. And then we turn to our second point. It says there was no more spirit in her. She began to see that the wisdom of this king was far greater than she could have ever imagined. She was not only speechless, but she was awestruck. No more spirit in her. There was nothing left in her. No more questions left. All back talking stopped. Not only because of what she saw in the city, but notice there's a special phrase that is very important. And that relates to the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord and his ascent in verse 5. By which he went up unto the house of the Lord. King Solomon showed her that too. Of course she was a heathen. She could not go into the temple. But she was allowed to look at it from afar. The ascent, the passageway whereby King Solomon used to go from his palace to the temple. She was allowed to see that. The ascent, going up unto the house of the Lord, the way to God, was opened before her eyes. She was given a glimpse, and we do not know to what extent she fully understood all that. Many of the Jews didn't even. When they were allowed to look at what happened in the temple, when the sacrifices were consumed in the flames of the wrath of God, and so man was made at peace with God, something of the wisdom of God was conveyed to her that made her speechless. All the doubting, all the back talking, all the hard questions, all the dark sayings were answered. Is that so with you too? Or do you still back talk to God? When you read Scripture and you see the salvation of God through Christ so clearly revealed, for whosoever will, let him come. For sinners to come to God through Christ. And every time you read it, and every time you hear a sermon, every time you see the truth is so simple and so plain and so inviting. No sinner needs to think he's excluded from it. You respond, yes, but, and there come the objections and the questions and the obstacles. just like the queen had at first? Or has it come with you to be changed from yes, but to yes, Lord? Be it unto me according to thy word. And not only once in finding salvation, but day upon day and sometimes hour upon hour when the difficulties arise and when the questions are many. Perplexing circumstances, riddles in your heart, sins that you thought you had long put to death. Thinking thereby that you cannot be possibly a child of God if such thoughts would be in your heart, such sins in your life. Well, for the Queen of Sheba, she found rest. No denying anymore. No back talking. No more objections. The opposite is true. We read in verse 6, he said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts or thy sayings and of thy wisdom." It was true what I heard. It's true what I heard all my life. It's truth. And it's enough. There's more, no more needed, no more needed to be done, that I too may know this salvation. It is true, she says, a true report that I heard in my own land. So she moved from too good to be true to say it is true. And even more than that, it's even better than that, verse 7, where she says, "My eyes had seen it, and behold, the half wasn't told me." At first, too good to be true. Now, it's too little. It hasn't even begun to describe it. It hasn't even begun to tell the truth. I've seen only a glimpse of it when I heard it. It's far better. The reality that I now see and hear far exceeds it. Words fall short. First I thought I shouldn't put my expectation too high, but now I realize I couldn't have ever put my expectation too high. No matter how high I would raise my expectations, God would more than meet it. That's what she says, doesn't she? She says, "Behold, the half wasn't told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeds the fame which I heard." Wisdom and prosperity. Wisdom and wealth. None was wiser, none was richer than King Solomon. She thought she could put that rumor to death. Do you think you can put the rumor of the greater Solomon to death? "Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeds what I heard. It is far better. God is even more accessible than I ever thought He was. Salvation is more near and real than I ever thought it was. This is the gospel. This is gospel truth. It's true when we read all through Scripture. Philippians 4:7, for example, the peace of God which passes all understanding. Beyond understanding, beyond words, beyond description. 1 Peter 1:8, in whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory." A joy unspeakable. Peace that passes understanding. First it was too good to be true. Now she realizes it could have never been put in words that would be sufficient. If all the books would be filled with the knowledge of God and of the greater Solomon, it would still not be enough. Though the Bible is sufficient, it's yet but a glimpse of who God and who Christ really is. God's word doesn't even begin to fully express what forgiveness of sins and eternal life and fellowship with God through Christ and the Holy Spirit really is all about. Memorizing the whole Bible, therefore, doesn't even begin to cover it. It can be described. It only can be experienced. It only can be begun to be tasted. Taste and see that God is good. It only can be begun even by believers to be experienced. What true godliness is all about. What it is to be image bearers of God by faith. Let alone what it will be in heaven for all believers. To see Jesus and to be as He is. Mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. See, that's true happiness. That's true blessedness. Because it's pleasing to God. It's pleasing to others. It's pleasing to ourselves. It's true wisdom. To be right with God. To find peace. And then to live rightly with Him. Through Christ. Through the greater Solomon. As the Queen of Sheba came to some knowledge of the Lord of Solomon. It was through Solomon. And that is still the Word of God. This is not just about a history in the past. This is about God speaking to us this afternoon through this word, so that we too may find what she found. And that's not only a gift for the present, for now, but forever. Happy. Happy indeed is such a people whose God is the Lord. The queen realized it. Verse 8. She says, happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. It's a beautiful phrase too. He loved, past tense, Israel forever. In other words, it reaches in a little phrase from past till future. Eternity past. Eternity future. Therefore made He thee king to do judgment and justice. Here is a great and famous and wealthy queen, and probably a very wise one too. Maybe she was even a philosopher in her own right, in her day and in her country. But she is considering these servants, the slaves of Solomon, happy people. Blessed are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, that may live in thy presence, that hear thy wisdom. These are blessed people, and this is a queen speaking. You would almost think that she is jealous of being there among the slaves of this King Solomon. About that privilege to be in the presence of this king. But not only in the presence of this king, but also in the presence of the God of this king. The God of this people. Blessed, praised be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. What a blessed nation, she says. You are privileged to rule. It's a privilege indeed to be in His presence. not only the king's presence, but the presence of God. That brings us also to our third point, his salvation. Maybe we will consider the blessedness a little further, but we shall... His salvation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Or we can also say, happy is that nation. Happy is such a people. Happy are those that live in the presence of this king and the God of this king. But we realize that those that do live in his presence first have come there. The Queen of Sheba had to come to Solomon. And even so, we must come to the greater Solomon to begin to live truly in the presence or favor of the Lord of Solomon. Hebrews 7:25, you read that the greater Solomon, the Lord Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. As King Solomon was interceding, was the mediator for her to come to know the God of Solomon, even so the Lord Jesus makes intercession without ceasing at the right hand of God, presenting to the Father his perfect obedience, his perfect sacrifice, and praise for them. So that everything you and I need is in him. Perfect obedience for our imperfect obedience or disobedience. His perfect sacrifice as a payment for our sins. His intercession even for our poor petitions and sin-stained prayers. To the uttermost that come to God by him. And I would like you to take good notice a moment to how she came. Perhaps you noticed that I omitted that from verse 7. I began to speak of her, of the fact that she said, the half wasn't told me. Thy wisdom exceeds the fame that I heard. But the beginning part of the verse we have not touched on. And we read that she says this, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. In other words, I did not believe it while I came. Or I could say it this way, I came even with a heart full of unbelief, full of doubts and fears, full of questions. But I came. It's a very important consideration and a very important truth to see how she came. Remember how she came? She came to prove him with hard questions. Some people have said that she came with all questions and that she had all these riddles and that she was looking for the truth and that she had a desire to be saved. But in verse 7 it's very plainly that she believed not the words. But she came. Until I came. Howbeit, however, I believed not the words until I came and my eyes had seen it. She came with a heart full of unbelief. And maybe that's your concern and your question when you consider yourself. Maybe you say, how shall I come? I have so much unbelief in my heart, so much rebellion, so much frustration, so much anger. So many questions in my heart. I can't come to him like that, can I? I may not come like that, may I? Yes. You may. And you must. For really, that's all there is in your heart. You couldn't bring another heart to him than such a heart. You remember the father of the paralytic son. When the Lord Jesus in Mark 9 asked him if he could believe. Verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Did the Lord Jesus forget that no man can believe? When he asked if and said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Of course the Lord Jesus had not forgotten that. And yet he says it. And the man responds. How we always should respond, really, if you're honest about ourselves. We should say too, like he did, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I do believe, Lord, but there is so much unbelief still in me, no matter who we are. Whether we have ever believed at all, or whether we have believed all our lifetime, there is still so much unbelief. Daily, we find that in our hearts. A battle between believing the Word of God and not believing it. A battle between trusting Him, even when things get to be very difficult, still to trust Him. Finding so often distrust, don't you know about that? Even when you are professing to be a believer. How many times aren't you filled with doubts and fears and anxieties? Maybe you say that I have so many questions, so many riddles, so many doubts. Doesn't that prevent me from coming? No. It didn't prevent the queen. She came to prove him with hard questions, as she says it for 7. After she saw it all, she says, I believed not the words until I came. She came and she found it far better than she ever could have imagined. And she lay all her questions at his feet. All the riddles, all the dark sayings. She came. And I know the Bible is very plain that we should come to God through Christ in faith. We should come believing, trusting. But if it cannot come like that, if we find no faith in our hearts, then we should come to Him for faith. Empty-handed, that we may receive it. It's a gift. Ephesians 2, verse 8 makes it very plain that faith is a gift of God. But it's a gift that He delights to give to those who come and ask, and they will receive. In Acts 5:31, Him, that is the Lord Jesus, the greater Solomon, God has exalted with His right hand, or we could read at His right hand, to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. The Lord not only gives us forgiveness of sins upon our repentance, but He will give us even repentance and faith. He will give us everything, both the root and the fruit. His salvation for sinners, for those that are filled with all kinds of objections and dark riddles, dark sayings, heart thoughts of God, those you may bring too. For that's all we can bring of ourselves. We may bring back His Word, but of ourselves we have nothing to bring but rebellion and enmity and darkness. Dark sayings, to have the light of the gospel dispel it. But only if we come, only when we come to God through Christ. There's no other name no salvation in any other, Acts 4. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is wisdom then to seek wisdom and to come. And to come again and again to Him. Not just to find wisdom as something that is mere knowledge, but to Him who is wisdom Himself, a person, the Lord Jesus, the greater Solomon. And when you do seek Him in His Word, you will find Him. Oh, believe His Word while He speaks to you. The Lord Jesus wept about Jerusalem when they refused to hear Him. He pleaded with them. And when they, we read in Matthew 12, dared to even ask for a sign, while He had done so many signs already, when He Himself was a living sign, the fulfillment of the Old Testament. The Lord says in Matthew 12, maybe we turn to that a moment, you can see what the Lord Jesus, and how He uses the Queen of Sheba as an example. Matthew 12, we read in verse 38, Master, we would see a sign from thee, but He answered and said unto him, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And now notice 42. The queen of the south shall rise up into judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. In other words, she came from far, believed, and you have not to come from far. You have the Word of God all your life. As He spoke to Jerusalem, so He speaks today to us. If we will not come to this greater Solomon, whatever our obstacle and our excuse may be, then the Queen of Sheba, on the Day of Days, will rise up against you in judgment. She will say to you, and it will happen, because Christ said it. It will happen. She says, I came. I had many more questions. I didn't know half of what you knew. Why did you not come? Why did you stay away from the greater Solomon? Will you not come? If you cannot come in faith, do come as she came for faith. Bring all your riddles. Bring all your dark sayings, and let the light of the world, Jesus, dispel them with His light. You think it still is too good to be true? The Queen of Sheba says, you haven't even seen the half of it. Come, all that are weary and heavy laden, He says, and I will give you rest. Amen.